Australia might be called the lucky country, but that doesn't mean we're a happy one, according to a new report. The respected HILDA survey, which stands for the Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia report from the Melbourne Institute, has found that many of us are more unhappy than we were a decade ago. But while we may be more anxious and spending a lot more time commuting to work than ever, it isn't all bad news. David Sparks reports.
It's peak hour at one of Sydney's busiest train stations. The platform is packed and everyone just wants to get home. But for many, home is a long way away.
I study and I spend almost 1.5 hours for travelling every day each time.
So more than 3 hours all day. Do you think it has an impact on your quality of life, having to commute so much?
Yes, it's a little bit stressful, of course.
And that's not counting the Australians who are stuck behind the wheel of their car twice a day. Dr. Inga Lass is co-author of a new report by the Melbourne Institute at the University of Melbourne.
If we look at people who have lengthy commutes, so at least 2 hours a day, then we see that they are less satisfied with a range of job characteristics, less satisfied with their working hours, and with the flexibility to balance work and non-work commitments.
The HILDA report comes out every year, measuring aspects of our lives across topics including households and family life, economic well-being, the labour market, illness, and importantly, what it calls work-family conflict. The findings about commuting are startling. In 2002, Australians spent an average of 3.7 hours a week commuting. Now it's 4.5 hours a week.
We have population growth, so that means that streets are getting more congested. But then also people might just move further out of the cities to the suburbs, so they have longer ways to work.
Sydney has the longest commuting times, with an average of just under 6 hours per week. Next comes Brisbane, followed by Melbourne. This report also casts light on other aspects of our lives which are putting us under growing pressure. One of those is childcare.
We can see that more parents are using a formal childcare for their children who are not yet at school. But we also see that the costs for this type of childcare have increased massively since 2001.
And then there's the eternal clash between our working lives and our family lives.
So work interfering with family life, that's actually decreasing for men, but it's increasing for women. On average, men have higher work-family conflict, but the gap is narrowing.
It all sounds like a very sad indictment on modern life. But Dr. Inga Lass says that's not necessarily the case.
There are positive sides of the story as well. For example, when we look at work-family conflict, we see that a lot of people have work-family conflict or high conflict in 1 year, but they manage to solve that problem really quickly. So a lot of them don't have high work-family conflict in the next year.
And that's Dr. Inga Lass from the Melbourne Institute at the University of Melbourne, and that report by David Sparks.